everybody. This is David Bixenspan here on CagesideSeats.com with another edition of Loser Leaves Town. And I'm going to be discussing midget wrestling today with two of the foremost midget wrestling connoisseurs that exist. As always, well, not as always, but for the third or fourth or whatever time, Rob Naylor is here to join me. And we are
Hey,
also,
everybody.
We are also joined by someone who has at least pledged to try to appear regularly, one Colt Cabana.
Hey, how you doing? And it's crazy that that we're on Loser Leaves Town because actually before you called, I was watching The Biggest Loser. So I put it on Fuzz on DVR so we can talk about midgets.
Yeah.
Midgets are much more important than Biggest Loser.
Totally. The total opposite of The Biggest Loser, I guess.
Yes, I think Little Beaver was the biggest loser at WrestleMania 3.
So, anyway, I guess we want to start talking about our favorite midget memories and favorite midget wrestlers over the years, and then after that's over with, just go over various other names on the online World of Wrestling's list and also on luchawiki.org. So, I guess I'll start with Rob since he has midget in his email username.
Yes, I do. Listen up. My favorite midget is probably the first midget I ever saw, and that midget's name was Little Coco. And it wasn't like Coco Beware's understudy or anything. He was just called Little Coco. He might have been Little Mr. T, too. I'm not sure. But Little Coco wrestled a guy called Lance Cassidy. No, Butch Cassidy, I think.
Yeah.
And it was like the around the loop WWF midget match, and I just loved it. I mean, there wasn't a rowboat or anything because that was a tag team midget match, but they did all like their usual midget spots, and I just really liked it. I liked the way there was a midget for every race, creed, and color. That appealed to me. I was like, good, that's good. So I thought that was good. And then they'd bring in Little Haiti, not Little Haiti, Little
Haiti Kid.
Thank you.
Now, wait, are they the same guy?
I hope to hell they're not because I'll feel like an idiot. But they would bring in Little Tokyo. That's who I meant to say. I get Haiti and Tokyo confused. So yeah, Little Tokyo came in and they do tags. And then Lord Littlebrook would come around every year when there was a new king. It was a great fun time to be a midget wrestler in the 80s in the WWE.
Now, this is interesting that you said that, Vix, because Haiti Kid was the first guy I saw. And then I'm pretty sure Kid was Little Mr. T. And you're saying that Little Coco was Little Mr. T also?
I don't know. Little Coco might have been Little Haiti Kid. It might have been Little Mr. T. It all might have been the same because I think what you're saying is they shaved Haiti Kid's hair to be a mohawk and then he converted into Little Mr. T. Because I remember the infamous shaving the midget with the Piper's Pit. Yeah, so that might be it.
Yeah, I'm not sure about this one because I was earlier to get in the mood. I was watching the midget DVD that Cabana sent me a while back. And there, you know, there are a couple of Haiti Kid matches from WWF. And then later, there's a tag match with that Little Coco. And, you know, it's a wide camera angle and you don't see his face, but he has the same hair and he does that same, like, rolling cradle off the crisscross and stuff. So I was thinking after watching that they're the same guy.
All right. I assume they all do the same.
No, but it was that, it was the deal
the
where, like,
that they pass on.
I don't know. It was this one, cause I never saw anyone else on Haiti Kid do that move where they're doing the crisscross and the guy that drops down instead of going flat, he goes down on all fours and then he gives him and then he body scissors him and does a, you know, like O'Connor roll type thing.
Right, which is a staple finish, it seems to be in those midget matches.
Okay. I thought the midgets were all good. I thought the best worker of the midgets, because, yeah, I'm going to go there. I think that Butch Cassidy was like the Ric Flair of the midget league. I think Butch Cassidy is very underrated. He didn't have a really interesting gimmick or anything, but he would bounce around and take all the big bumps, and I liked Butch Cassidy the best. He had those cool leopard Rick Rude tights points. You know, he just was a good little midget wrestler, and he's one of the first, him and Little Tokyo was always his partner, and Lord Littlebrook, because the bad guy midgets all hung around in packs.
Yeah, I noticed that earlier when I was watching this, that Butch Cassidy took really good bumps, especially on, like, arm drags and stuff.
Yeah, man. He might not have been a literal midget. He could have been one of those Jarrito Estrado midgets, guys who are, like, 1 inch taller than me, but in the midget leagues, God bless them. I wish I was Mexican and like an inch shorter, because I'd be kicking some ass down there. It'd be amazing.
Naylor, going on a couple of things like that, there's two things like that comes to mind. Like, I think they would always, like, when the one midget was like, first they would say the rules, like, you have to be X amount, and they would always, and like, four, I don't know, what was the midget ruling, under 4'3" or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, so, and so they would always do like that 4'3" midget versus like the 2'1" midgets. And like Lord Alfred Hayes would always point it out. And then of course when watching that as a kid, I would always be like, man, I could be a midget wrestler right now, like as like a, you know, like a 13 or a 12-year-old, like, you know, little Colt Cabana. That was also always my dream. It was like that I could sneak into the WWF as a little kid, like if I was just in the midget division. It just made sense to me.
Yeah, and I remember, I think Eddie Guerrero told a story that when he was in the dressing room once where Andre was there, Andre took Eddie in with a bunch of the midgets because Eddie was young at the time, and I guess old man Chavo was wrestling, and he's like, you could wrestle these guys. And then, like, they all kind of messed around, and not messed around, this is a terrible thing to say. We're talking about Mel Phillips here, but no, they all, like, kind of were friends, and they did, like, arm drags and stuff. So Eddie Guerrero could have been one of them crossovers. He didn't grow, but
didn't Foley in his book talk about an indie promoter who had little kids walk bow-legged and wrestle as midgets?
Really?
I think it was Tommy.
So. That sounds awesome.
It was Tommy D, I think.
Wow,
it's my dream.
See, you should have lived up here in the Northeast.
Wow, a boy can dream. Okay, so for me, I'm going to talk about I wrestled a midget. And there's a picture going around the internet. I don't know if anyone's ever seen it, but it's me versus Short Stack. Mm-hmm. And, it was in Indianapolis. And like, I forget, like, it was one of those concert places. And, it was like, you know, like Godsmack was playing or Crisis of the Down or something. I don't know, you know, that was the same. And I got to wrestle a midget. And it was like my dream because I was very midget heavy. And at the time, I don't know if the case is anymore, but Punk was always like, his big thing was how scared he was of midgets. And that was always his big thing, was that he was so scared to be around midgets and whatever. So it was, you know, it was my pleasure then. Punk was on the show and he was kind of like staying away from this one guy. And now, you know, he's friends with one slug and whatnot. But, so it was my pleasure then to brag to him how much, like, how great my midget match was going to be. And, we had an awesome match. And then the finish was, I picked up Short Stack, and then I was the big heel. There was a huge crowd, and then I threw him at Chris Hero. Chris Hero caught him like a football, threw him back at me, and then he drop kicked the midget in the back. And then I did the big job for the midget. And the place went nuts. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's my short midget story.
Yeah,
wow, Short Stack, and he did the Short Stack dance. He was like, there's this guy named Meatball, and he was like, you know, like I don't know, there's a whole midget clan and crew. He did the Short Stack dance, and he would, like, you know, he was like 2'9" and like 213 pounds, which, you know, 213 pounds is big, but you think about it, if you're 2'9", and he was yeah, like truffle shuffle kind of dance and rock.
I know Meatball. Meatball was in NWA TNA. He wasn't he the masturbating midget in the trash can? I'm not sure if you followed that.
I think it was either TL or Puppet.
Oh, Puppet, okay, yeah. Puppet was the masturbating midget in the trash can, which, God love you, Ed Ferrara, on that one. Yeah, that was interesting. Those hardcore midgets had, like, a small little, I don't want to say famous, but they had a nice little run there when TNA started. I always like when midgets come back in vogue. Like, I always thought it was bullshit in the late 90s when, like Arnold, like what's his name, the guy from Different Strokes was all over the news, and like there was a Kid Rock midget, and then like the guy from Austin Powers, and like WWE or WCW should have been on that shit, man. They should have had, like, they should have brought in their own influx of midgets to bring back to the mainstream themselves. I think they missed the boat. Yeah, Joe C, there you go. And he was a huge wrestling fan. Yeah,
actually,
he was a huge
wrestler. When I was at when I was really, really young in wrestling, I went to a show. Remember where Tony Mamaluke did that flip in Ohio on ECW and flipped, like, into the crowd?
Yeah, and, like, half on the guardrail, yeah.
Yeah, I was at that show with I had a tryout before the show with Danny and Ace. And Tom Marquez was my partner.
Tom Marquez, and, Prodigy was Tom Marquez. Pablo Marquez,
yeah,
was Ubas, yeah.
And I remember Joe C. was back there, and like I'm not going to say what all the boys were doing with him, but, you know, they were, you know,
You're making it sound much worse than it probably was.
No, but yeah, I mean, but they were getting high as a motherfucker. Like, okay. Hey. Yeah, and so that was my memory of Joe C. in wrestling. So I was in a locker room. I shared a locker room with Joe C.
Fuck yeah. That was that match. That thing was Mikey Whipwreck and Mama Luke, and that was fucking insane. I thought he was dead. Tony Mameluke was my favorite wrestler for like the next 5 months. But back to the midgets. Were there AWA midgets? Like, real quick, I think Vern liked midgets. Not like that, I'm just saying. Like,
Pat Patterson liked midgets.
Well, I don't know. We don't know if Pat did. We know – well, maybe we do. I don't know what we know. But all I know is I think Vern had the midgets in a couple times, and they were – I think there was an Indian midget, if I'm wrong.
Oh, Little Beaver.
Oh, yeah. Little Beaver was an Indian midget. Okay. And who was his tag team partner at WrestleMania?
Oh, I don't know. Wait, it wasn't Karate Kid, was it? No.
Little Beaver and Haiti Kid, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Little Beaver and Haiti Kid, of
okay.
course.
Yeah, okay. Here we go, Haiti.
Little Beaver from Meatballs, right?
Was it? Little Beaver was in Meatballs?
Yeah, he was in a movie with where they went to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody?
No!
It was Meatballs 3.
Oh, okay. That explains it. Meatballs 3. I got to rent that one immediately. Jesus. Okay.
Or maybe 2. I'm not sure. But he was definitely the midget in it.
Yeah, IMDb says Meatballs 3.
I used to think Tiger Jackson was Mini-Me. You guys remember Tiger Jackson? Like, he'd be in all the magazines, like the Napolitano magazines, and I'd be like, oh, shit, he's huge now. He's Mini-Me, but no, he's really not. But Tiger Jackson looks a shitload like Mini-Me. I'm not trying to say all midgets look alike, but there's a definite resemblance.
Yeah. I guess I don't know what my earliest midget memory would be. I think I remember maybe something with Karate Kid when he would have been on an MSG show or something, but probably the most vivid one would be seeing a tape of WrestleMania 3 for the first time, though, and seeing Bundy squash Little Beaver, and then then the heel midgets turning on him, which was always fun. Midget solidarity, and then they did the same thing at Survivor Series 94 with Lawler.
Yeah, the midgets uniting against Bundy was really good. Yeah. I think Tiger Jackson was Dink, right?
Yeah, he was Dink and Macho Midget.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
You don't remember Macho Midget?
I vaguely remember they would bring back midgets. Yeah, he was probably like Bret Hart Midget, and you know what I mean? He was probably the all-inclusive midget.
Yeah. I didn't realize until like a few months ago that he was actually in WWF like on and off for a long time. Like he was on like one of the first episodes of All American or something in 1983. So he was around for a really long time.
Yeah. The one midget I should think, since I'm such an old fan, is what's his name?
Sky Lolo.
Bix. Let me tell you something. I watched that Best of the WWF of the 80s thing you did with the extras. Holy shit, that wedding of the Vachons when Skylo Lo steals the show there. And when you have all three of the Samoans holding up Skylo Lo and they're singing that gibberish song with Albano. Oh my God. Entertainment for weeks, man. I miss that. I wish TNT would come back. Vince McMahon, bring back TNT. I loved it.
I don't know. As far as Skylo Lo moments, though, I think that might not be as good as him going through a fair or whatever with Giant Gustav in ICW.
Oh, yeah, when he played that alley oop music.
Yes. And then he did the commentary after.
You guys are out of control.
I'm telling you, we love our midgets. Skylo Lo, man. He's dead, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. He lived to be like 90, though, I think.
Yeah, he was like 84 when we saw him, so okay.
I thought the average lifespan of a midget wrestler was like 28.
I thought so, too. I thought midgets kind of go early. Which is probably why I'm trying to get healthy now. Jesus, that's nuts. Who's some more famous midgets from the 80s? We got to think about that. Were there any masked midgets?
I actually just watched earlier when I was looking at stuff on YouTube. I just put in midget wrestling into YouTube, and there was a clip from Continental of a guy just being called the Masked Midget.
I love it.
The match was like completely straight, though, with no comedy, though. Which was interesting for an American midget match.
My I know there's not, just I wanted to go back on the, I don't think we put over Lord Little Book enough. He was,
oh yeah.
To me, he was like the Iron Mike Sharp of the midgets.
Oh, because he was so loud.
Yeah, and that, you know me, that's what I love is just constant rambling. So I don't know. To me, he showed the most personality and just outgoingness of midgets, and I think that's important in your midgetness.
Oh yeah. And he dressed like pimp.
Like who?
Like a pimp.
Did he? Yeah, I guess he did.
Where he had the cane and the hat and the jacket with the tails and everything.
Well, that was more like a lord, wasn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. With the sunglasses. I don't know about lords wearing sunglasses.
I think he was a lord. And you remember when he was with the royal family and Abdul the Butcher put him in his big sack with Norman the Lunatic?
That I don't remember. I don't remember that part.
Oh, man. He was with Jack Victory and Rip Morgan, and they were the New Zealand militia or something, or the royal family, I think. And Lord Littlebrook would come out with them. And Abdul the Butcher was called the Boogeyman, and he teamed up with, like, Mike Rotundo. I recall this like it's, like, my mom's birthday. But, I think it was on Worldwide because I didn't get TBS as a child. So Abdul the Butcher grabbed him, and Dutch Mantel and Tony were like, they captured the midget. They captured the midget. And, like, they had him in this bag, and Abdullah was choking him. And I was afraid of Abdul the Butcher anyway. So, like, that was not a very good memory for me. He scared the shit out of me. So poor Lord of Littlebrook. But he was, I agree, he probably was, like, the anchor of any midget tag team he was on.
Yeah, he was really good. And also, talked about Little Tokyo a little. There was one thing that I really wish was on tape. In Gary Hart's book, he talks about a time where he had Great Kabuki come out with Little Tokyo dressed up as Little Kabuki.
Mm.
And they had, like, Kabuki would do the mist, and then Little Kabuki would try it and spray it all over himself, and then he'd mess up the nunchucks and stuff. And I don't know. Unfortunately, there's not really any Texas on tape before World Class, but that sounds fun.
Here's a question I have. You know how, like, Mula was kind of like the ringleader of the women? Like, she'd book them out, right?
Yeah.
Like, was there a known, like, midget ringleader?
Yeah.
I think Littlebrook was later on, but before that, it was... Trying to remember this, because this one, I think this was in Gary Hart's book too, that like one of the Michigan promoters was also the midget booker. I can't remember who, not Bert, it was like Bert Ringley's partner.
I like ringleader better.
Okay, you know what? I actually thought you said a different word at the beginning of R.
I think that Littlebrook was, as far as I know, because I think some shit went down with Little Haiti Kid, not Little Haiti Kid, Little Karate Kid when there was a scandal or something. And yeah. I think Lord Littlebrook took all his dudes and was like, hey, we're not going to stand for this. And that's why Lord Littlebrook was with the New Zealand militia and out of the WWF in the late 80s, when in the 85 to 87, which I guess is the late 80s too. But yeah, he kind of bounced because of some alleged incident that occurred. So yeah, I remember Little Karate Kid a little bit. I think he was kind of a flash in the pan though. I don't think he lasted too long.
Now,
or like Conan. He'd be the Conan too, right?
Yeah.
Like the WCW Conan?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, with the Barry Horowitz match and stuff, yeah. Because I know Rob loves that match.
Oh, that was an amazing match. Barry Horowitz against Conan is the greatest match of 1990.
Really? Hey, what?
Oh, it's amazing. Like, Horowitz just is... Horowitz is like the lost luchador. He just... is unbelievable in that match. He does it. Like, Conan Conan had that little NWA run, I guess. And like,
when he was in the Pat O'Connor tag tournament thing.
Oh.
Yeah. So he came in and, like, he wrestled, like, Barry Horowitz on Pro Wrestling New York. And, like, Conan would step on his foot and push him backwards. And, like, Horowitz was just bouncing all over the place. It's, like, seriously, an amazing match. I don't want to put snowflakes on it, but... it was really, really good. People should seek it out.
Now, I'm trying to figure out I was reading one of those old observers that they posed, and there was something, I don't know how it came up. Someone mentioned something like on a board I was going to about it. Somehow it came up how the midgets were related, and it was like, there are like two little Katos, and one's Karate Kid, and one is Lord Littlebrook's son, but the Karate Kid is Frenchie Lamont's son. So apparent, I don't know. I don't know why, but for some reason, like in the midget family legacies, there are two little Kato's.
Interesting. I don't remember little Kato. I remember. Yeah. Is Diamond Lil Moolah's daughter?
She calls her mom. She calls her. She called her mom.
Huh.
And she would like she like from the day she met her, and that's creepy considering the sex slave rumors, but. What can you do?
But, all I know is I like Diamond Lil. She was one of the few female midgets. I don't think there was too many female midgets. I don't know if I've ever seen a female midget match.
Yeah, I don't even know what. There's one on like one of those old like wrestling classic strange matches home videos.
Hmm. Yeah, Diamond Lil was always around. Yeah.
I don't even know what. I don't even know if the sex slaves rumor is something that like. Originated before people started making jokes about how weird they came off in that documentary. But I guess
it was the documentary.
That women's wrestling documentary, remember a few years ago, Lipstick and Dynamite?
Oh, I didn't see that.
And like, it was like, because I think it started with like Ebert's review was talking about like, oh, well, it's obvious that Mae Young and Fabulous Moolah are a couple, but what's strange is trying to figure out the role that Diamond Lil plays in the relationship.
Oh, that creepy Roger Ebert. What's he doing?
Yeah, so the rest was proud. So he planted that in our heads. I don't know if it was ever a rumor before that.
Come on, man. I think that I got to watch that and Meatballs 2. That's what I'm getting out of this.
Meatballs 3.
Oh, R3. I'm sorry. I'll rent them all anyway.
Yeah, he was also on an episode of Soul Train, according to IMDb, by the way. Little Beaver.
All right, Little Beaver is all over the place.
Along with Ashford and Simpson.
Is Meatball 3 with Patrick Dempsey? I think he's in it.
Yeah. I don't know when Bill Murray flew the coop, but he was...
Yeah, Patrick Dempsey's in it. Shannon Tweed's in it.
Yeah, I remember Shannon Tweed because I was like in love with her. She's not a midget, but she got the...
Oh, did you ever see the movie Night Patrol? Night Patrol was the kick-ass movie of the 80s, and there's an awesome midget in that movie, too. He plays, like, the chief of police. It's tremendous. I highly Night advise. Patrol? Cabana, you'd fucking love it, I'm telling you.
Now, who was the midget manager in Body Slam? Was that Billy Barty?
Yeah, that's the guy who's in Night Patrol. Billy Barty, yes. I guess he's a famous midget actor, but Billy Barty's in Night Patrol, also starring Linda Blair, the unknown comic, and just... Oh. It's unbelievable. You gotta see it.
Cabana, have you ever seen Body Slam?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, good.
What's Smilak?
Yes.
Yeah. M. Harry Smilak, is that right?
Yes. Very good.
S. Harry Smilak? Or no, M. Harry, what is it?
Yeah, M. Harry Smilak.
M. Harry
that's,
Smilak.
That's right. What IMDb says. I never got the why. Like, everyone had a fake name except Albano, but it wasn't. He wasn't Lou Albano. He was Captain Lou Morano.
Yeah,
I love Albano. That's our next show. We got to do a Lou Albano. He is the most underrated guy ever. Like I was more of a fan of Albano in the 80s than Hulk Hogan. I loved him. Good old Captain Lou.
Yeah, and he became a good guy after they cured his. What was it? His organic brain disease or whatever it was.
Oh, that's great. I didn't know that.
Yes.
If we want to transform this to midget, I always on his wrestling doll, I always thought there was a midget Captain Lou on his shirt. Like,
oh yeah,
on the LJN. I was kind of upset that there wasn't a midget Captain.
Yeah, it kind of looked like sort of like this sort of big headed like midget Captain Lou.
Yeah, for sure.
Because his head was like the size of his torso or something on the shirt.
I think part of the reason I like Captain Lou Albano is because when I was a little kid, my parents came home from the bar once. And they're like, yeah, this is our friend. His name is Beef. And it's just like this random fat guy in any local town. And he's like, hey, kid, I'm managed by Captain Lou Albano. And I go, oh, that's great. And I gave him the first ticket to the wrestling show I've ever gone to. And he fucking signed Beef on it. And he ruined the first ticket ever. And like later on, I was like, you bastards. Then I thought my mom and dad lied about everything after that. Because they were like, yeah, he's managed by Lou Albano. I'm like, bullshit.
What? Why is your mom and dad bringing home randoms from the bar?
I don't know. I'm sure there's some dots to be connected there, but yeah, it was crazy.
Are you sure
he
wasn't
called Beef yet? It's ridiculous. 400-pound men.
Are you sure he wasn't any actual wrestler named Beef? Sounds too big to be Beef Wellington or Tom Burton.
Yeah.
Or...
You just like, they call me
Lou Marconi.
Beef, oh, maybe it was Beef Stew Lou Marconi. It's the right region, right?
I don't know how close Pittsburgh is to Shamokin, but that could be a connection. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Wow. Shamokin?
Great time.
Shamokin. Love it. Anyway, back to midgets. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But yeah, other midgets that I thought were great. I don't think the NWA really used midgets.
Like we talked about WWF. As far as Crockett? As far as Crockett? Yeah. I guess not that much. I don't know. I can't really think of it in, like, during that. Like, at least from, like, once they got on TBS, I can't really think of it.
Oh, shit, I got one. In Florida, the greatest moment in wrestling history, on one of those Florida DVDs that you could find in your local FYE, Dusty Rhodes and a little African-American midget, and he's doing the commentary on it. He goes,
It was Haiti Kid. It was Haiti Kid, right.
Yeah, he goes, right there, that's what Americana is all about, a little black man in a white man's arms. And I was like, holy shit. And, like, we rewound that 800 times and just died laughing because Dusty Rhodes brought race relations, like, to a screeching halt that day. I was like, wow. It was amazing. The Haiti Kid and Dusty on the same team. I don't know who they fought, but it didn't matter.
Is that on the Dusty DVD or one of the one that like that whatever company that was put out? I don't know.
Oh man, I think it was on the
Turnbuckle Memories.
Yeah, that wonderful human Mike Graham put out a bunch of DVDs in like the early decade, and I think before they sold it, I think that was one of those.
Yeah,
I've got a bunch of those. I bought them from FIP Style when I was in Florida to do like research on Florida wrestling, because I figured out there I should know my Florida a little better. So I got a bunch of those, but I think I stopped after the first Brian Blair, Paul Orndorff match.
Oh, you got to go back and watch that Don Morocco, Manny Fernandez match. Amazing. It's my favorite match on every DVD they had.
There's also this really good, like, bloody, like, Sheepherders versus Cuban Connection, who's like Dave Sierra and someone match, but it's like the bloodiest, like, studio brawl thing you'll ever see. Which I love, because I love the Street Herders. Although Cabana seems to like the Bushwhackers much more.
Yeah, I sure do.
Yeah, even though you didn't remember what the Hongi was.
Did they use it on TV? They called it the Hongi?
Yeah. Rob, do you remember the Hongi?
I think that was when they came back for like 2 weeks before they got exiled, and they were like, yeah, Hongi, and I didn't understand it, but I do recall it.
I don't think they even explained it for like a couple until like right the day before they left, but.
I sent out a Twitter the other day actually saying how, and I forgot what it said, but it said how when I could rate the WWE archives and I asked for midget matches. And that's what I wrote on my Twitter, and I go, no wonder why I got fired. I could ask for any, you know, I said I could ask for any match that I wanted, and I would ask for midget matches from MSG. And, like I said, you know, it was a bunch of those, but in actuality, I like to watch them because I like to get, like, ideas from, you know, like, I really like to watch the eccentric, you know, eclectic, different wrestlers, obviously, you know, like Jim, Boogie Woogie Man and, you know, Junkyard Dog and just these really, you know, outgoing ones.
Cat Weasel.
Yeah, Cat Weasel, right, in Europe, especially the European guys. Because, you know, to me, it's like, you know, all the other guys, it's just, you know, how many headlocks and tackle shoulders can you watch where you can really try to pick up some different ideas. And so I would pick up ideas from the midgets, and I actually use one, I used a spot that I really enjoyed. It was me and Joey Ryan in New Jersey. And it was a spot where it was with the ref, and it was with Todd Sinclair. And this is why I like – and Brian Danielson in New York talked about how much he loves Todd Sinclair. And all the wrestlers in ROH love Todd Sinclair. It's funny because Todd Sinclair gets booed like everywhere he goes. he's everybody's favorite ref, really. And it was Joey Ryan grabbed my arm, and then he grabbed Nana. Nana's arm for extra leverage, and then Todd Sinclair kicked Joey Ryan's arm away from Nana. And then the next time they tried to do it again, and I switched and I grabbed Nana's arm, and then Todd Sinclair went to kick my arm, you know, to get it away from Nana for the leverage, and I let go, and Todd Sinclair took this big bumbling bump. probably the top of the match, this huge bump, and that was a midget spot I saw. and I integrated it into my match.
Gotta ask this. You were in an awesome match with Jimmy Jacobs against Roderick and Jack Evans, and you're managed by, I guess, Bobby Heenan against, I guess, who was it? Cornette was with them, and you guys did so many awesome spots in that match that could have been midget-based, if I recall. Remember that one?
Yeah. I remember we did a bunch, yeah. Those were also, because I had just gotten back. I think it was my first time back. I just got back from England, and we were doing the camp shows. So on the camp shows, it's a lot of, you know, camp spots or hokey spots.
Yeah.
So I was probably taken from a lot of those England camp shows.
Yeah, that crisscross thing with Jack was hilarious. That was about as good as I've seen that done.
Yeah, that was definitely taken from that. I remember Ricky Steamboat was there that night too, and he was so excited for that one spot. And that was really Ricky Steamboat? You like the crisscross spot? All right.
Love it. One of my favorite things that you ever did was at the Kabashi show in New York, where you slipped off the ropes and then started getting scared and checking your pulse like you were having a heart attack.
Against Claudio?
Yeah.
What was that?
At the Kabashi show in New York.
What was the spot? I'm sorry.
I think you were trying to like maybe climb up the ropes or something and then sort of maybe arm drag them off or something, but you slipped off the ropes and then you started panicking and checking your pulse like you were having a heart attack.
Well, I always like the two pictures of a pulse. I think that's checking your target heart rate. It like brings me back to like 7th grade.
It pissed me off though, because on the DVD they edited it out, because they're like, oh no, blown spot, we have to edit it out.
Oh, and, right, yeah. I do remember I got all pissed off because I blew a spot. Oh, good.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it was pissed off, and they were like, oh no, we can't have that, even though that was the best thing on the show that wasn't in the Kabashi match.
That was better than Kabashi and Joe?
No, it was almost as good. Now, actually, no, the best thing on the show was how the biggest pop before Kabashi came out was how they brought out the special stairs that Kabashi needed to walk into the ring.
Yeah, we had to tighten the ring, too, because it was too bouncy and it would hurt Kabashi's knee.
I never got why they didn't just leave the stairs out at the beginning of the show.
Oh, I made for more of a moment, I thought.
Yeah, but it was... Anyway.
Has ROH ever used midgets?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. The Sumi Sakai count?
No. I guess the closest would be those Mania shows where Delirious actually captured Hornswoggle and ran to the back with him.
Yeah, I guess he was, wasn't he?
I don't think that was a payday or anything, but he was there and he got carried to the back.
I don't know this story.
Before you tell it, I remembered, before Hornswoggle signed, I was going to do a spot in Chicago with him where I just wanted, just because of the fact that he's a midget and he was all for it. And I forget what it was, but there was a plan to do a spot in Chicago with him that just never went through.
Yeah. I don't know if there even is a story. All I just remember is after the match, Delirious was like, rah! And he just grabbed the dude, and he's like, let's go. And they ran to the back, and it was just a really happy, upbeat moment, and that was about it. And then he's on WWE, and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Look at that. Unbelievable.
Yeah, apparently he's the longest – is he the longest, like, midget ever to have a job there, like, straight?
I don't know. How long has he been there? What is it now, like 3 years?
Yeah, but I mean, he's collecting a paycheck every week, you know.
Full time, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. That's would have been longer than like Dink was there.
Yeah, Dink would probably be the only guy close.
Yeah, because no, I don't think there would have been anyone else that was there like consistently for. Yeah, I mean, other than Dink and Max Mini, that's it.
And you online, you hear people bitch about Hornswoggle, but kids love him. You go to see that live. And my nieces, that's like their favorite little wrestler. Like, he is as over as you can get.
I kind of wish he was still with Finlay, though. I don't think he's as fun by himself.
Yeah, but was that not played out?
I don't know. I mean, but I don't know. I mean, I just
I
like.
Think he definitely needs a niche. Like,
yeah.
You know, he needs something, you know, like the. You know, that's what you're saying. Like,
he needs a hook. Yeah, like. And, you know, with Finlay, you know, even, you know, they had the thing where Finlay used him as a weapon, and then, you know, they were the prankster, you know, good guys together. And now it just kind of, it feels like kind of random.
He could be Vince McMahon's son.
I remember when he took the biggest bump ever. Like, God bless him. That WrestleMania thing with Kennedy when he took the rolling fireman's carry thing off the ladder. That was very impressive.
And those guys were buddies, you know, starting off in Green Bay. So I'm sure they planned together. Yeah, you know, like they wanted to make that happen together for both of them.
Nice. That's good. Yeah, that was definitely I'll never forget that. I saw that, and I'm like, no money in the world would let me take that bump, even though he might have been protect. I don't know. It's still real to me. I was like, forget that. That looks crazy. crazy.
Now, Rob, I know there's this one picture. I'm trying to remember who it's with. It's Skylo Lowe holding up some full-size wrestler on his shoulders, and I remember you gushing about it, about his midget power.
It looks like a Japanese, like a Tiger Chung Lee type Fu Manchu wearing mustache human being. And Skylo Lowe has got like this, like, 230-pound man on his shoulders, like Road Warrior Animal. And I was just like, whoa, that's crazy. So, yeah, I don't know who it is. But it was in one of those Bill Apter magazines. But sometimes those things stay with you. So I was like, all right, I remember that one. But yeah, I don't know who the guy is, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think also on commentary, Gorilla Monsoon would always tell the story during midget matches about how once he like saw Skylo Lowe, like I think Skylo Lowe picked him up and carried him across the room in a fireman's carry once or something. Oh man, there's a picture of here of Skylo Lowe in a top hat and a tuxedo.
Deservedly so. Good for him.
When I was in England, we had a midget on the shows named Little Legs.
Little Legs?
He would tag with the Flatliner, and they would do, I don't know the story to it, but you know, they would do, you know, the Flatliner was kind of like a new age bushwhacker, but he was like Jack. And, I thought he was like 45 years old. Apparently he was like 25. And that was Brian Dixon's favorite guy. That was his favorite routine was Little Legs and Flatliner against whoever. And the heels would always bump around. And I think, I forget who would take the heat. It was always like funny, you know, it like always didn't make sense. Like maybe like Little Legs would get the hot comment. I don't know. It was always weird, but, He was in the, I guess he's like in the Harry Potter movies and stuff over there. So kind of a bit of a star.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Little Legs. And then Full Fighter would come out to the hamster song or something. It was one of my favorite.
The hamster dance, yeah. Time.
Yeah. Is that like, right? That's famous over there in England? Like Yeah. And I love, like, I'd go out every night just to hear his entrance. And that's like, that's the best about wrestling is like, you know, some people or whatever, but like, you know, like someone's entrance, you hear it every night. Like, it just gets me excited to listen to that song and to hear, have him come out and everyone, and all the kids would love it.
Do you remember one of the first Mexican wrestling things I've ever seen was like in like a Pro Wrestling Illustrated, you know, year end review in like 90 or 91. They had like this picture and it was like Mexican midget mutant turtles or something. And it was like Ninja Turtle midget wrestling. Bix, are you aware of this? It was like the greatest thing I'd ever seen as a child.
I didn't know that if the Ninja Turtles had midgets, I've never seen it, but now I really want to.
Yeah, you gotta check that shit out because I never saw them. Like, I saw a photo, and granted, they could have been short guys, but I swear I remember the word midget thrown into the equation in that sentence. But I don't know.
Well, it's PWI. They'd make stuff up though. Like once they said Bret Hart won the IWGP title from Ted DiBiase.
Oh, well.
Yeah, but just like the Power Rangers were kind of, you know, like once the Power Rangers had, like promoters would have them dress up. So like, I think I'm pretty sure. I think that like people were booking the Ninja Turtles to wrestle, right? Wasn't like Wolfie or wasn't Art Barlick a Ninja Turtle?
No. And I know why you're making that. And it's the funniest thing is why you thought it was Art Barlick.
Yeah, Chris Champion was Cowabunga the Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, they're Art.
Or and, have a couple things of comments, but yeah.
He what? Love it. Check out Jamie Dundee's shoot interview for the best explanation of what happened there.
Yeah, Cowabunga. I recall him. I thought he was cool.
Well, there were two Cowabungas, though. One was Brian Hildebrand in the Northeast, and one, the other was Chris Champion in Memphis, and one was with a K, and the other was with a C.
And so they had, do you think they had the midget, like a midget Ninja Turtles with them, or it was a whole different thing?
No, I think it was a different thing. Definitely
in Mexico, they had like four, they had a whole team of Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, in Mexico, there was four mutant Ninja Turtles. I'm going to keep going on this pop culture thing. My favorite thing in 94, there was a guy called Jeff Osborne, who now I think is like a big MMA guy. I could be wrong.
Yeah, hook and shoot.
Yeah, I subscribed to his newsletter, and he sold videotapes of his fledgling matches because he was like a up-and-coming potential wrestler. And he played a character called Bernie the Wrestling Dinosaur, and I thought it was the greatest thing ever. He would wear the Barney outfit. He'd take swinging DDTs wearing the Barney outfit. I thought it was hilarious. And his mask would come off and the children would cry. It was just about the greatest thing I've ever seen. So,
what kind of shows was this on?
Just small indie shows out of Evansville, Indiana. I think, yeah, am I right? Okay, cool.
Was it
Evansville,
like birthday
Indiana.
Party?
Oh, I think it was they're actual shows. There'd be about 13 or 17 people there, you know, depending on the weekend, and he would wrestle other wrestlers, and it was awesome. Just seeing a guy in a Barney outfit, that was before I had seen this kind of thing. Like, you don't expect Barney to get Russian sickled or something, so I thought it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, this was before Mexico gave us Shrek and Donkey.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, were they pro wrestlers?
Yeah, there's some great pictures on eBay right now of PG-13 with Barney the Dinosaur.
Yeah, there needs to be. Imagine the time they had. Jesus.
Are they autographed?
What?
Are they autographed?
No, unfortunately. No, but on the Jamie Dundee shoot interview, Rob had them ask a question about Bernie the Dinosaur, and Jamie Dundee's like, yeah, I took the picture and I'd tell the kids it was me and Barney, and it would sell real good and made a lot of gimmick money.
Yeah, Jamie's so smart. That's a good move. A brilliant move. I'd rather have a picture of Jamie and Bernie the Wrestling Dinosaur than Bill Dundee and Jamie Dundee. Come on.
Wasn't there a PG-13 midget?
Yes, Midget D.
Midget D,
right. Shit. I never saw this. I'm excited.
Yeah, I never saw him either, but I even was in IWA the last time Jamie Dundee was there.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, I think I was there with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I knew that.
Yes, and then he drank himself to death not long thereafter.
Oh, no.
Yes.
IWA had some midget matches, and I think they had puppets, and I think they did some hardcore midget matches, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I actually did a midget show. You guys remember Chucky Smooth, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Chucky, I don't know if everybody knows this, but Chucky's on the up and up. He's been about 4 or 5 years so completely sober now.
Yeah, I think I did know, but good for him. No, I think I knew, but anyway, good to hear.
Yeah, so if anyone's, you know, wondering that, and I've been hanging out with him a lot, and he used to be, you know, besides Nate Webb, he was the king of those new age midget shows, and so I did a show with him in Chicago at a bar, and I don't know, I'm just saying I've been on midget shows, but actually that's weird because Ace Crafts just contacted me the other day about doing these shows called Sideshow Wrestling, which I think he's promoting. I think he has a show coming up, I think in the beginning of November, so maybe Google it. And his big pitch was using the midgets because they would get a lot of press. And I go, you know, Chucky would tell me about these midget shows that they would do. And I mean, they would, it was just like, you know, how Girls Gone Wild was so hot. Girls Gone Wild was so hot. You know, it was like, I went to a midget show in Sluggers once in downtown Chicago next to Wrigley Field. And I mean, this place was packed. It was just like, you know, normal dudes, like, just loving that midgets were beating the shit out of each other. And so Ace Crafty, you know, he's promoting the Sideshow Wrestling. I think he wants to promote more kid-friendly, but he has all those contacts and the bars and you know, everyone loves to publicize, you know, something different. And I think he's starting something up, but he's starting it like he wants to go kid-friendly. Maybe, you know, seeing how much people love Hornswoggle and stuff. So there's some new midget shows coming on the horizon, I guess.
So, Cabana, quick question. I know Nate Webb runs with, like, the Bloody Midgets organization. Is there, like, a second troop of midgets also?
Well, yeah, like, Puppet ran Bloody Midgets, and Ace, okay, who was one of the Wicked Jesters, was with Puppet. And then I think he peeled off with P.O.D. You know, can't be Puppet on Demand. I forget what the P.O.D. is.
On Demand.
because that was, he was TOD before there was any like Comcast on demand or anything. So they split off into, I think, the Micro Midgets. And so then there's two different ones. And now I think Micro Midgets is gone, and I think it's the Sideshow Wrestling. And that puppet still does the Bloody Midgets, but, you know, I don't think it's as hyped up as it once was. I mean, that was a pretty hot show back in the day, but I think it's almost like, you know, you just keep on doing the same places and it just kind of dies out, or the fad dies out, you know. Like didn't, like, Beetlejuice had, like, puppet tossed in. Wasn't he part of that or something? You know, it's just not as hot as it used to be, I guess.
What would be awesome to really, you know, get the people back would have, like, the Poffos ICW against Memphis. Have a midget group invade the other one and have these two warring factions battle. I'm stoked. I hope that happens one day.
I don't think the selling was in the promotion. It was just drunk people coming to see midgets actually hitting each other. I don't think anyone knew who anyone was.
There's no promotional loyalty.
In a dreamland.
That's my dreamland. I would love that.
In a perfect world.
In a perfect world, definitely.
My favorite story about Bloody Midgets, though, is how when they were on HDNet, how Mark Cuban was apparently the biggest mark in the world for Puppet. And he would follow, like, come to all the shows and follow Puppet around everywhere.
They were on HDNet?
They were on HDNet?
Yes, years ago.
For what?
They were on, like, they had just a couple shows that were on HDNet. I remember Hiro telling me when he was at the shows how Mark Cuban was there, and all he did was follow Puppet around for the whole night.
Hmm. I did not know this.
They went Iowa, and my cousin was going to Iowa at the time, and he calls me up, and he goes, "Hey, there's a bunch of wrestlers here." And he's like, "One guy's Puppet." I go, "Hey, tell him your cousin's a Colt." And then he did, and then they took him up, and they got him, like, hammered for free. So my cousin loves the midgets.
Everyone loves the midgets.
Yeah.
Kids love the midgets.
The Insane Clown Posse, don't they have midgets on their shows? No?
I would think so, but seems like their kind of thing. But
yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's like, that seems like it would fit like a glove.
Do you guys think that, like, you know, how basically, I remember, like, Windy City Wrestling would sell shows. And I looked at their how they would sell shows. It was like 10 big matches, including one battle royal, one tag team, one women's match, and one midgets match. And then, like, that was for like $10,000. And then for $7,500, you wouldn't get the women's match or the battle royal. You just get, you know, the tag match, the midgets match. And like for $5,000, you just get, like, you know, a battle royal. Do you think it's important that you have those, like, that these midget matches are on these shows, or, like, do you think, like, that day and age is gone of, like, that even a tag match is, like, a gimmick match?
I don't know. Well, how long ago would this have been?
This was probably 98, 99. I don't know. It might still be on their website. I don't know.
I mean, maybe now, too, but I would think for the type of show that you're going for with a sold show, I would think that a midget match would seem like a good idea.
Because you've got to put something for everybody. I think deal of something different in every match always works, I would think. I could be wrong.
You think the midgets should get paid more than the regular wrestlers?
I don't know. Apparently they're a draw in some of the Bloody Midget bar shows, so I don't know. I could be. You might have more intel on that than I would. I don't know.
It's always an interesting thing because in reality, they're the gimmick match. They're something else. They have the possibility to draw. And same goes with women. But in reality nowadays, like, women, you know, are getting paid so much less than the guys, you know. And I don't really know what midget pay is, but I wonder if they, you know, I mean, if I'm a midget, I only have so many bumps. I don't want to be doing it for $10, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's very true. Huh. I don't know about that. Oh, Cabana, while I have you here, I got to ask a question. One of my favorite job guys of all time is a guy who I think – is Rockin' Randy. Do you know if Rockin' Randy was called Jerry Fox?
Yeah, of course he was Jerry Fox.
Okay, thank you for clearing that up, because I got conflicting knowledge of that, but he is the greatest wrestler of all time.
And on my third match ever was, and this could kind of intertwine with Mitch's, because it was a handicap match, me and Bobo Brown versus King Kong Bundy on a show for Dale Gagne / Gagner. And in Livonia, Michigan. And on that show, Randy wrestled as Jerry Fox. And I was always like, "Why are you wrestling as Jerry Fox? I thought your name was Rockin' Randy." And like, now that you look back on it, you know, like, Dale was always selling these larger than life shows with, you know, like on the show was like George Steele, Greg Van Valentine, Sensational Sherry, I Wrestled Bundy, you know, some other honky tonk man was there. And so probably the reality of it was like, he was trying to be like, look at me. I'm a WWF guy too. I'm Jerry Fox, you know, like, he was also one of these WWF guys.
The greatest thing about Jerry Fox is I don't think I've seen his matches on tape in about 20 years, but I remember he had a match with the SST in the AWA as Rockin' Randy, and it was the greatest thing I've ever seen because he took that hair beel thing that Fatu used to do, and I swear they did like a whole 360 revolution in the air. And then the second match, which is one of my favorite matches of all time, Max Moon against Jerry Fox from WWE TV. Jerry Fox, I swear to Christ, took a drop kick and bumped completely over the top rope without touching the top rope. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, I don't know if it's – yeah, he was out of his mind. And then he had a match with Bigelow, which wasn't even as impressive as the match with Max Moon. The match with Max Moon is insane.
Now, is he the same guy as Rockin' Randy Bryant?
No, Rockin' Randy Ricci.
Okay, because I just looked on YouTube to see if the AWA thing was there, but there's a Rockin' Randy Bryant from that IPW in Arkansas.
Yeah, I just remember Rockin' Randy, and I remember Jerry goddamn Fox. What an awesome, awesome wrestler he was.
I really don't remember him, and I remember the job guy pretty well. I remember I remember Chris Duffy, who no one remembers, but I don't remember Jerry Fox.
He died, Chris Duffy, but yeah, Jerry Fox taking the drop kick and not even touching the top rope and flying to the floor was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Of course, Rockin' Randy, you know, put me, Punk, and you know, Ryan Braddock all on our first shows. That was, he was the promoter, so he gave us
all
a
break. See, I need to know these things. I did not even know that in particular. Holy shit, that's fucking awesome. That's like finding out that Manny Fernandez had something to do with Low Key and Homicide. It's like, holy shit, my favorite people from two eras are united. Holy, I did not know that. That's great. Rockin' fucking Randy. Good, I hope he's doing well.
Now, refresh my memory. Did you ever get to wrestle as a Golga for Dale Gagner?
No.
You didn't get to do be a Golga? I thought you did.
Rockin' Randy wanted me to be Doink, and I was, man, maybe seven matches in, and I was such a mark for, like, wanting to be me and not wanting to be Doink that I refused to be Doink. later, it's kind of crazy how much nowadays in my career, how much I would have loved to have been Doink.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, no way, man, I'm going to be Colt Cabana. I'm making my name for myself. Like, it's going to be a pretty big show. You know, I can't go there as Doink. Like, what would be the point? Yeah, God has how the world has turned.
And
so yeah, midgets.
Yeah, Doink had a midget. Yeah,
okay, right. I'm going to bring it into the 90s now. My mind was goddamn blown when I saw the AAA midgets in like 93, 94-ish. There was Masquerita Sagrada and that Espectrito, which to this day is like my favorite midget of all time. Mm-hmm. But those guys are insane. And a secondary story is I love Masquerita Sagrada. There's a guy, Masquerita Sagrada 2000, who's Masquerita Dorada now. He's like the most spectacular wrestler on the planet. But Jack Evans, who's down there, said he saw Masquerita Sagrada, the OG one, without his mask, and he claims he looks like me, which I want to hug Jack Evans when I see him next, because that's the highest compliment I could ever get in my life.
Well, you could find out, because when he was in WWE, he was Supernova, and then he lost his mask to Max Mini on Super Astros.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'm going to research that. If Jack is lying, I'm never going to speak to him again. But yeah,
amazing.
Do either of you guys know the history of, like, I don't know. Like, I remember, you know, somebody brought those midgets in and were, like, really hot on them, and then they, like quickly fizzled out, you know, like who was really hot on them and then who was like, these guys suck. Because I remember
what, WWE?
I YouTubed, like, a Shotgun Saturday Night, and, like, I watched a match recently, and it was just with the midgets, and it was just brutal.
Yeah, I don't know what, like, when they did the juniors thing a few years ago or when they did the AAA deal.
No, like Shotgun Saturday Night years.
Okay, yeah. That was like, I don't know what happened. Like, they kept a couple of them around, but they had good ideas because they were doing like Mini Mankind and Mini Vader and Mini Goldust, but they didn't stick around.
It was a regular match. And they were really pushing the one guy. I think it was Masquerita Sagrada.
It was the second Masquerita Sagrada.
Yeah, they were like really.
Before
Mini. What was he?
Mini Max Mini. Yeah, he was Max Mini, Mini Max.
Yeah, they were pushing him hard.
Yeah, if I recall correctly, I think Kevin Kelly and Jim Cornette really liked the midgets, and they pushed for it, but I don't know who Like, I would assume Jim Ross didn't like it, but that's not nice to say since I don't know for sure. But that would be my assumption. I could be completely off base. But yeah, I think if I recall correctly, I remember Kevin Kelly, I think he liked it. And then not only did he like it, someone in WCW liked it, because I remember one famous night on Nitro and Raw, there were competing midget matches with Mexican midgets. And it fucking blew my goddamn mind. And the WCW match sucked shit, because they only gave them like – it's like they were going to try to put a 13-minute match into like 2 minutes because they cut it, because Hulk Hogan needed a longer promo. And like Bobby Heenan just made a dick out of the match, and it was completely terrible, if I recall correctly. So, but it was a historic night.
Yeah, I remember Bobby Heenan's line was like, "It's like a riot in a daycare center."
Yeah, that I remember that though. The two midgets, or two groups of midgets, mind you, on the same goddamn night of TV was just spectacular.
Now, that leads me to ask the question that I was thinking about. Is it wrong to think that any of the midgets, especially even if they're in the same gimmick as a bigger guy, are adorable? Is it wrong?
You think they're adorable?
Yes. Like in a Muppet Babies kind of way.
No, not at all.
Okay, see, that's what I think. That's what I think. Because if you're doing the whole mini, you know, especially like the mini headhunters and all that, and you have these, you know, cute, you know, these little dudes dressed up as the headhunters or whatever, then yeah, it's like the Muppet Babies.
Do you mean like they're a fake of somebody else, or like... Like Max Mini, I thought was adorable. He was like 1'3".
Well, him too, I'm saying, but I'm saying like especially for the guys who are the little versions of the average, regular size guys, because that's like watching adorable. Muppet Babies.
Yeah,
fuck it. I think Lord Littlebrook's adorable. Look at the fucking.
Well, yeah, he is. But have you ever seen when Max Mini was Baby Rabbit?
No.
Yeah, he was Baby Rabbit, and he was also. He was also Mini Rey Mysterio Jr.
Jesus Christ.
That's
you are
why I
well.
Love them, just because they're adorable.
Really?
No, don't feel bad.
Okay. I mean, not all of them are. I mean, if you see them out of their gimmick, like when I saw Kuihei without his mask a few weeks ago at the Lucha Vavoom show, he looked like a 40-year-old Mexican dwarf.
Oh, there you go.
But it was made up for when then during the show, I'm sitting in the balcony. You know, watching, you know, this girl doing this bizarre drag as Prince striptease thing. And here I am sitting watching this and, like, with Kuihei in his full costume standing right in front of me. Watching a drag striptease of a woman dressed as Prince dancing to Let's Go Crazy.
There you go.
With a midget in his full Lucha Libre costume with mask standing in front of me. And it was also weird that you don't realize how short he is until you see him next to the more normal-sized midget. Like, you know how Kuihei's not even a wrestler?
I don't know who Kuihei is, unfortunately.
He's, you know Ali Brihe, the one with the really weird outfit?
Okay, yeah. Like, he looks like he's
one,
fake.
Like, the Mexican folk art thing. Okay. And they feud more with, like, you know, they would feud more with, like, Monster and Chuki, remember?
Is it Zuki or Chuki?
No, not Suki, Kuihei.
Who's on first? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. You don't forget it, but it's the guy who throws the little guy to like 10 feet. Yeah.
It's the Hebrew that did Juki. Okay? Wanted to celebrate Hanukkah.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, I don't know, though. I know a Bruhe or whatever. He's okay. I don't
know.
Yeah,
and then he's the one who throws the little dude like 10 feet in the air for the splash. Yeah.
Who is the little dude that dresses up in like a Land of the Lost outfit? He looks like a little blue monkey.
K-Monito.
Yeah, I like him the best.
The guy that got hooked out of the ring, like right on his face.
Yeah, who was it that did the baseball slide into him?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It was maybe like Ultimo Guerrero or someone did it.
Oh,
yeah,
man,
have you seen that,
Rob?
Yeah, Rob, that's the greatest midget spot of all time. That or the one where the midget slides across the ring on his head, like the bald midget.
Yeah.
I don't.
Where is that from? Is that from All Japan Women or something?
No idea, man. It's just the greatest thing ever, though.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen that on YouTube, you got to go find that where the little midget gets drop kicked out of the ring and flies out of the ring. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, because it's like he's sitting on the apron for people who haven't seen it, and one of the Rudos comes over and hits him with a sliding drop kick, and it looks like, I don't even know if he tried, if he, any of this was Kamenito's doing or just from getting hit, but he basically does the fastest shooting star press it possible and lands on his face on the floor.
Oh man, it looks just like a teddy bear sitting there.
Yeah,
like, it looks like Anchorman, like when Jack Black kicks that dog. It's just looks like a real life person. Oh man, but it's like a midget, so it's not.
It's like watching someone like throw. It's like watching someone throw like a stuffed animal or whatever just in the air and then drop kicking it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's okay.
I mean, he didn't die, so it's okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so it's okay to jest about the thing. How about when that little Masquerita Sagrada jumped off the top of the steel cage onto Jake the Snake? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
The Conan match? Holy shit. He, like, climbed up, like, a legitimate, like, at least 14 or 15 foot high steel cage. If he would have fallen backwards, I remember the famous line in The Observer, Dave Meltzer said he would have been a puddle of soup on the ground, which I thought was interesting.
Is that Triple A?
Yeah. Yeah, AAA, 1993-ish, I think. Like, for some reason, Jake the Snake had a match with Conan, and they just were like, hey, let's put Masquerita Sagrada out there to dive off the cage. So, yeah, that was nuts. Schnookafly from a midget.
Yeah, at the Lucha Vavoom show, Little Chicken did a poncha out of the balcony right after Cassandra did.
Yeah, midgets shouldn't be jumping out of balconies, man.
Well, they're more likely to be caught, though.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I recant my statement. It's true.
And they'll probably get easier for them to balance. Like, when Cassandra was about to jump off, I thought he was gonna die. But when the midget did, I didn't really worry.
Midget balcony dives.
Now, have either of you ever seen the micro division from AAA? Not the minis, the micros.
No.
Okay, this was for, like, a couple weeks before they realized the guys weren't, like, athletic enough to do it. Instead of using, like, proportional midgets, they used, like, really stubby-legged dwarves and called them the micros. And it's, like, it's kind of scary.
I know the maestro.
They need just the stro now.
Killings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, micro. So, like, the little stubby dudes?
Yeah, it was, like, little stubby-legged dudes, not, like, proportional, like, you know, the guys who usually wrestle. And, they only had it for a couple weeks, but you had, like, you know, it was the same deal with the little, you know, guys doing the full-size guys gimmicks. They had Micro Conan, Micro Volador, you know, Micro, you know, Volcano and all those guys. But it didn't last long because they realized that even though they were trying hard, they would probably get themselves killed because they couldn't really get enough, like, you know, they couldn't really, you know, put enough, you know, into their flying.
Yeah, to break this down a little bit, like, these micros, right? I did a little research on this when I was trying to convince myself I wasn't an actual midget back in the day. micros, I guess, are what they call cretins. Like, that's an actual word. I think that means, like, you're completely unproportional. So they're, like, probably the 2 foot Johns, whereas,
okay, I'm looking,
like,
I'm googling this.
Please do so. I did that too one time. So yeah, and I think, like, a rank, quote unquote, little person, dwarf, midget. I think that they're just, they have, like, the, I don't want to say normal because that sounds like I'm being a dick, but they have, like, the regulation size, like arms, legs, apportionate to the rest of them. I think.
Okay. Well, let's see. Cretinism. Cretinism is a condition of severely stunted physical and mental growth due to untreated congenital deficiency of thyroid hormones or from prolonged nutritional deficiency of iodine.
Okay. Yeah. So
well, you don't have the mental disability as far as we know.
Oh, there we go. See, I am on thyroid medication, so you might be teaching me something here. Jesus Christ. So, yeah. So those guys. All right. Because, like, I know there's definitely a distinct difference, but yeah. Because, like, that little, like Cabana said, the 1 foot three dudes, they're like
the primordial dwarfs.
They're on like a different plane.
I'd like to see those guys wrestle.
Oh, hell yeah. That's like the little Abushi, not Abushi, but that little blue guy. He's one of those.
No, right? Is he? No, the primordial dwarves are like the ones who are also kind of like weird and skinny looking. Okay, like, you have to go. Oh my god.
I'm not doing any of this.
Oh my god. Okay, no, I'm sending you a picture.
Okay, cool.
Okay, right.
Yeah,
now,
but we really
So when I was thinking of my stand-up material for my stand-up comedy shows,
yeah,
I didn't go with it, but one of my things was, I didn't know the joke, but I knew it was somewhere. Like, I was like, you know how they have all these, all the guest hosts on Raw? And I'm thinking, like, well, why don't they have, like, instead of bringing famous people to Raw, why don't, you know, to wrestling, why don't you bring the wrestling people to different shows? And, like, how I wanted to put a joke of having Rey Mysterio on, Little People, Big World. And, like, you know, like, the kids, like, how would they treat him? Would he be, like, would they be like, oh, there's this giant? Or would they be just be like, oh, here's this regular-sized dude. He's like one of us, you know? And I don't know, you know, like, what's the situation going on there, you know? I thought I'd throw that out there.
Not a bad idea. I watched that show. I remember when the one kid got hit with a pumpkin.
I have not watched it. What is that, on Learning Channel?
Yeah, the Learning Channel has all kinds of interesting
shit on it. I need to watch that.
Yeah, you really do. There's a guy who looks like a tree. Check
it out.
I've
seen that.
Yeah, Tree Man.
Yeah, man, Tree Man. Everyone wear rubbers because if you catch HPV, you could look like a tree too. Like, seriously, that's like the best anti, like, STD show I've ever watched.
Wait, he got it from HPV?
It wasn't supposed to be. Yeah, there's like a strain of HPV where basically you could actually turn
into trees.
It's crazy, man. You got to check it out. It's insane. Right next to, like, the – yeah, and it's right after the guy that they had to cut out of his house. It's unbelievable.
Oh, God. Wow.
Channel. Amazing. So, yeah, the midgets. Have we gone through all the midgets that we could possibly think of?
I don't know.
Well, we didn't go through Tom Thumb or was it Cowboy Lang, right?
Cowboy Lang.
Oh, shit.
Cowboy Lang. I don't know. Cowboy Lang, I watched wrestle Wilbrook earlier. It was actually – there were two of those matches on the same DVD, and I started to watch the second one, and it started with the same spot as the first one, so then I realized I probably shouldn't have to watch it. I don't know.
I love Cowboy Lang. I don't remember Tom Thumb.
Yeah, well, Lily, let me look at a picture of Tom Thumb. Oh, no, there's no profile. Okay. Wait, let's see.
Cowboy Lang, though. I remember
Wait,
him.
Who's
–
Yeah. Wait,
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, there's one called Little Jumbo, who's not – I had high hopes with seeing that name, but he's just a guy doing a hillbilly gimmick. Like, I expected, like, a midget Jumbo Beretta or a midget Jumbo Cerruda.
Yeah, a midget that throws high knees or low knees, if you will. That'd be amazing.
I don't know, but midget Jumbo Beretta would have been even better, though.
Yeah, I like Jumbo Beretta.
Claudio Castagnoli once, because I do the flying asshole – In the corner, he wanted me to throw the guy off and do a flying high knee, but it would be a high knee.
Yeah, like Booty Man did, right?
The but it would high be a high knee. Knee, but it would also be like a high knee.
Right.
Ridiculous.
That was the idea.
And I tried to tell him that it wasn't good, and he cried. Like, no, but it's funny. It's high knee. You get it? You get it?
High knee.
Jesus,
now
when
all
you're
of a sudden he's Russian.
Yeah. When you're stealing jokes from 1996 WCW, you realize that the Swiss do not have the best senses of humor.
Or high knee.
Fuzzy Cupid, I don't know much about him, just other than he has one of the best wrestling names ever.
Oh, you're going through the actual list now.
Yeah, I'm just looking at it to see who else we didn't talk about, and that was one thing I wanted to mention, that I just love the name Fuzzy Cupid.
All right, let's see if we know any of these dudes.
Billy the Kid, let's see the Billy picture. Kid, he looks kind of like a midget Dutch Savage. Or a midget Doug Basham.
Oh, okay.
Billy the Kid with Jimmy Garvin. Oh, you should look at this because it's before Jimmy Garvin had the beard and stuff. When he had blonde hair.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember those days. Dude, do you know that Jimmy Garvin is Sunshine's cousin?
Yeah, I know. It's creepy, isn't it?
I never knew that. I was stunned. And I didn't know Ron Garvin was a stepdad either.
Yeah.
Such an idiot.
No, the whole Sunshine thing's so creepy when you find that out.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and no, they talk, I think they even talk about it, it was on WWE's World Class DVD, like, and he had better chemistry with his cousin than with his actual wife.
Yeah, Gary Hart did say that, didn't he?
Yeah. Coconut Willie. Oh, he's the one in Bret Hart's book that he talks, is he the one that played the bongos all the time?
I don't know, but Stu Hart had to have loved midgets.
Yes. No, he did work Stampede. I know he's mentioned Bret Hart's book, but There's the one that played the bongos a lot. That might have been the one who got sad when they tried to make him Little Wolfie because he had really bad teeth, so they wanted to make him a wolf man.
Aw, that's dick. Poor guy.
And then they used horsehair adhesive to stick hair to his face to make him look like a wolf man, but it said it washed out with water, and it didn't, so then the midget got sad and cried.
Bruce Hart's a great guy, isn't he?
No, this was Brett, though. Brett was the booker.
Oh, Brett, what are you doing? Oh, it's terrible. Poor little midge.
Yeah, what were you saying? Banna?
What?
You were saying something.
No.
Okay. Joey Russell. Always interesting when the midgets have, like, regular dude names, as opposed to having some sort of, like, yeah, being little, you know, whatever. Joey Russell, who's kind of creepy looking. What else?
Hey, what's the point of not of having a regular name? Like, what do you
I don't know.
A respect thing of like, you know, you're like a competitive athlete, but you're a midget.
Yeah, you're a competitive athlete who bites dudes' asses.
Right, yeah.
Maybe it's the surprise factor. You see Jack Russell, and then like little dude walks out. You're like, oh right. Shit.
That's crazy. Like, he's coming out of the entrance, and there's this big shadow, you know, like the big shadow, and then he comes out, and there's this little guy coming out.
Everyone looks up, and they gotta look down. Yeah, I like it. I'm going for it. I think it's great. I hope someone redoes that.
I remember in Global when they had that, like, one mixed tag match where Horowitz, like, dropped the midget?
No, man, I don't remember.
How can you not remember that? You and we both remember all the Global stuff, and you don't remember that?
Yeah, there's parts of it I don't remember. I do remember the winner, Barry Horowitz.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, do you know that Joe Pedicino's on Facebook now?
What? Okay, I gotta do that. Because I'm already Facebook friends with two of the Atlanta boys. So.
That scares the shit out of me after shit that I said about Bonnie Blacks.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so I'm staying away.
No, hopefully. I don't know. Wait, let me see. Okay, let me look. Okay, Joe. Are you sure it's the real Joe Pedicino? Is he talking about Jesus?
I don't know. He's just...
Oh my God, he has a caricature as his Facebook of Joe Pedicino as his Facebook picture.
Yeah, I like Joe Pedicino.
I do. I'm looking at this, and this is awesome. His Facebook profile picture.
Good for him.
Wait, it doesn't. You know what? It's weird though. It doesn't. Apparently, I don't. Oh, he doesn't have a lot of Facebook friends yet, and apparently, we don't have any mutual friends. Even though I have Scott Hudson and Craig Johnson as some of my Facebook friends.
Cabana, do you remember Joe Pedicino knows?
Is that the one where they give the WWF updates?
That was one. Yes. I think they did that, yeah. Well, yeah. Wait, did he do that in WCW or just in Global?
I think I remember that in Global.
I just remember Global would have, like, WWF updates, and I'd be like, why are they doing this? And I'd be like, but thank you, it's very informative.
I remember him being very upset that Tommy Rich had become a bad guy, and now it was Thomas Rich.
I remember wanting to punch Brandon Baxter in the face. He's like, hi, I'm a teenager. Basically, he's like every smart mark, including myself now on the internet. But he'd be like, the latest news is this, Ric Flair. And I'm like, oh, shit, fuck you, kid. And now I could see why people think smart marks are so annoying. I'm raising my hand right now. Hey, what's up?
I remember you called when we did the Global thing, you called him like the earliest version of Krone Meltzer.
Yeah, that kid, he was annoying. Whatever.
Krone Meltzer, dude. Wait, what other... Apparently there are a whole bunch of female midgets. They have like 10 of them out here. I don't know any of them besides Diamond Lil, though. And Little Dagmar.
There you go.
They were like the, what, did I almost say they were scary looking and then stopped?
Sumi Sakai was referenced. We love her.
Okay, no, but they were what the AAA micro guys looked like with the leg, with the stubby legs and stuff.
Yeah, Diamond Lil was one of those.
Max Mini was like 1-1. He was so little.
You're going to get to the point where the next time you mention a height, you're going to be in negative numbers.
He was 0.3.
Now, what do you guys know about the evolution of the aborted WWE Juniors division? Because I think that's something that we do need to talk about.
I don't know anything about it.
I know. I think Dave Marquez put together a deal or something for those guys, and I think, what's his fucking name that no-showed my match with him? Porky. Porky just no-showed a bunch of times, and so I think they just got sick of him.
Now, what was the deal though with them signing Mikey Batts though to be like the anchor of the juniors division?
Yeah, I don't know. But I know he did get signed, and I know there's a guy named Spud in England who I think they were taking a look at too for that.
Really? Well, how tall or short is he? Because I know Mikey Batts is really short, right? Like he's like 5'1" or less.
Real short too. And I know that they were looking for like regular wrestlers that just happen to be really short, which is like basically like everybody, you know, as a wrestler, you know, I'm 6'1". I was 6'1". I think I've shrunk because my discs have all gone. You know, I'm 6'2", you know, 40 or whatever. But a lot of these wrestlers getting in, you know, are tiny with dreams of being WWE superstars. You know, a couple sneak through the cracks, like, you know, like Seidel and whatnot. But it was like, it was basically these guys is like time who like, it was like their like moment and time to shine. And, you know, like a couple of them got signed, but like that was like what they've been waiting for was like WWE being like, hey, let's hire all these small guys who aren't midgets, but are just like short. And like everyone's just like all of a sudden all these indie wrestlers like eyes, you know, like popped up. They were so excited. And then obviously it faded. I don't know whatever happened to it. But, I know those Mexicans, I think they did. I don't know if they had a lot to do with it, but you know, they didn't really take it serious, I guess, or at least maybe just Super Porky didn't take it serious. That like maybe that just put a whole damper on the look of that division.
Was that when there was the thing where John Laurinaitis was supposed to get, like, he was either supposed to get Milano Collection AT and almost signed Molinita, the Mini, or the other way around or something? Was that when that happened?
God, I never heard that. I do know Milano was in ROH, and he was, I think he was in Texas. I think Funaki took him to a show or took him to a tryout or something. But I didn't know. I mean, the only mix-up I've ever heard was when he signed Steve Chamberlain instead of
Allen. Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
Which burned, obviously, you know, he was the wrong one-legged guy.
Steve Chamberlain.
I forgot his name. Thank you for reminding me.
What could have been? Oh, well. Yeah, so that I think we scorched this midget surface.
I don't know. Oh, you know, we should talk about Virus, since I know you love him, and he technically he was a mini at one point.
Oh, Virus even. Yeah, oh, I love him. He's my favorite wrestler of all time outside of Manny Fernandez or Terry Gordy. He is fucking great. Virus is fantastic. Him and Rocky Romero had some great ones. Him and every luchador, him and Zumbido had some good ones, and Zumbido's almost midget territory. Of course, these guys almost tower me, so I'm not like talking down to them, but I'm just saying, like, Virus is awesome. He was Damian Cito?
He was Damian Cito El Guerrero.
Oh, he's fantastic.
And he was also, like, the second Piratita Morgan.
Good for him. He was just great.
Or the third one, or something.
Yeah. Virus rules.
And, I don't know what else. But, you know, the WWE thing, I just remember also when they did the thing that Caban was talking about earlier with the AAA guy. Well, no, this was after the AAA thing that they made it crappy because they decided to rename everyone too. Like, it was okay when they made them like Mini Mankind and Mini Goldust because that was fun. But then they gave them these stupid names. Like, remember you had like Battalion and Mosaic?
Yeah.
Tarantula.
You know what I just thought of? Can I interject here? I'll bet you Court Bauer might have had something with the midgets. Because remember Court Bauer was going to use Virus and Masquerita Sagrada 2000, and then like shit went south and they didn't come in. But I'll bet you he might have been the guy that had the information to bring in like Porky and stuff. Because he was going to bring Porky to MLW at one point, right?
I don't know. Was he going to bring any midgets into H2?
No, but I know at one point he thought – I know at one point he thought about it.
No, wait, were you gonna be in H2, Cabana?
I don't think so, but I haven't thought about that for 5 years or whatever.
Well, you should have more recently.
Yeah, because
it should be spoken of every day.
Love H2. Way to go, guy.
Heronetics. What else was there?
Oh, the Alienist, Alex Shelley. Come on.
That was what was the Alienist?
The Alienist, Jamar Cunningham. Yeah. Jack Evans was changed to Jack Miller. It was amazing.
Opera Cup.
Oh, there was an Opera Cup? Because Teddy Hart stole something from the basement? Oh, it's unbelievable. What a great collective of humans. Sabu was going to wrestle Super Dragon. Oh, geez, Court. Why'd you have to do that to him?
Well, he was? Wait, didn't they have a match somewhere else once?
They certainly could have. I'm not necessarily sure, but there was going to be a rave. It was going to be amazing. It's too bad.
Yeah. Was it the Teddy saying he was going to bring an RF thing that brought it all down, or was it not going to happen before that?
I'm sure there's a multitude of good reasons why it didn't happen, but who knows?
Oh, well. I guess that's about it. I don't know if we have much else to talk about as far as the subject of midgetry, but I don't know. I mean,
I thoroughly enjoyed this, and yeah. I think the thing I'm taking from it most is more knowledge about Jerry, Rock, and Randy Fox. Unbelievable.
Yeah. I don't know why I don't know about Rock and Randy.
I've got a whole first 2 years of my career about Jerry Fox. So.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yes.
We love it.
No, and then, you know, it reminds me that once I asked Kurt Brown if he could get Ricky Attacchi to do an interview with me, so I think I should ask him to try that. So,
I met Ricky Attacchi at the Cauliflower Alley Club last year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I marked out more for meeting Ricky Attacchi than, like, Ted DiBiase. I was losing my shit. I sat at a table with the man. It was amazing. I was like, oh, you remember that match you had with Hercules? Even Ricky Attacchi was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It was unbelievable. I loved it. I was like, you are the man. Oh, he was great. That's it. I had to say that. I got to give my props to Ricky Attacchi. Shit.
Yeah, one of these days, yeah, maybe we should have him on and ask him about just the life of the WWE job guy.
He was a great guy. I had nothing but nice comments to say.
Well, I guess that's about it. Any final thoughts?
No, I think it's upsetting that midgets are a little more relevant today in wrestling in America isn't really a carnival. It's not town to town. It's more of just television. There's only so much you can do. You know, a midget, it's a gimmick match, I guess. So, you know, if it was more town to town, I think it would be relevant. But I guess now that the carnival days are kind of gone, I guess so are the midgets. But I'd like to see him. You know, I think when you think pro wrestling, you know, you think midgets. So. I mean, you don't think exactly midgets, but it comes to mind, you know. So. That's my two cents.
Naylor?
Viva la midgets. God bless them all, man. Love them. Yeah.
And as they always say on commentary, kids love the midgets. Guess that's it. Thanks, everybody. And, you know, CageSideSeats.com, LoserLeavesTown.net, etc. That's it.
Hey, go to my Twitter.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Twitter.com/ColtCabana or the real Colt Cabana? What is it? Just Colt Cabana?
Well, some German asshole stole Colt Cabana. So it's Dr. Colt Cabana.
Right. Okay. I knew it was something like that. Okay.
Yeah.
So that and also the MySpace too or what else?
Yeah, MySpace /ColtCabana and ROHWrestling.com.
Okay. ColtCabana.com isn't much
no, CabanaRama.com is kind of up, but some Japanese person stole ColtCabana.com.
Really?
So it's like Japanese like dogs or something. I don't know.
What? Look at the bright side. It's not like how Sabu.com was about gay porn.
Yeah, very bright.
That was one of the best things about being a wrestling fan on the internet back then was how people would always trick other people into going to Sabu.com.
I don't remember that, but it's a funny prank. I like it.
Okay. That's it. Midgets.
Adios.